What's up, guys? Welcome to We Have Cool Friends, Kind of Funny's interview show where we interview our cool friends. Our cool friend today, Mega Ran.
Hey!
Give it up. And joining us at the table as well, Cool Greg.
Cool.
We had to make this a Getty's Bros special because it just feels right. Because Mega Ran, this is the thing that I find so interesting about you, about us. You are kind of the perfect intersection of me and my brother's interests.
Hmm.
It's like a weird Venn diagram because on one side we have the video game nerd stuff, okay, which is definitely me. On the other side you have the wrestling stuff, mm-hmm, which is definitely him. But in that center is the rap stuff.
Yeah.
Where both of us are really into that. And I feel like he's a little into video games. I'm into wrestling a bit, but it's just like I feel like you are that perfect intersection where you help me connect to the youth.
Nice. I'm glad to help you connect. That's awesome. Man, I really appreciate that. I love that we're all into a little bit of the same things. And that Venn diagram has kind of kept me going for so long.
Yeah.
It's like whether it's a month or two where I'm heavy in the wrestling and then a month or two where it's heavy hip hop and then there's heavy gaming. So, on a normal day, it's always a cross section of all three.
And
that's
what I think is so cool about you specifically is you... Your entire thing is kind of taking those three things and meshing them together.
Yeah.
On the daily. I love it. For
thank you.
Those of you that don't know, Mega Ran, who are you?
Who am I? All right. Well, I'm a former teacher. I used to be an educator. I taught middle school for a number of years from Philadelphia. I always grew up a hip hop head. Video games, I've been playing since Atari 2600. You know, wrestling, I've been watching since WrestleMania 2.
Wow.
You know, so I go way back with all this stuff. And just at some point in my life when I stopped teaching, I gave a lot of energy to all the things that I really loved. And that was like a turning point for me where I said, I'm going to just do that. I'm going to put all my energy and my creativity into the stuff that I love and try to give myself that thing that wasn't there before,
yeah,
which was a hip hop guy who loved wrestling and video games and comics and anime and all that stuff. And that's where I've been going since then. We've been traveling, touring all over the world and releasing albums and just having a blast.
You gotta love it, man. You are no stranger to these parts over here. Kind of funny.
Indeed.
You, like, that's the thing is I wanted to give the quick intro to you too, for those that don't know, because we have a lot of new people watching with show. But I mean, you've been part of the Kind of Funny family forever.
For
going
years,
all the way back. Like, I mean, even back at IGN.
We go back to Beyond and all that, man. Like, I've always appreciated the love shown. And it's just always been a great relationship. I come through. I did Kind of Funny Live with you guys. Mm-hmm. We had a blast. It's always just been nothing but fun times.
I feel like you are the perfect example of what a cool friend is when we were talking about that we have cool friends. Like, when we designed the show, I feel like you were part of the whole, the pitch of it all. I mean, you're on the wall.
You see that? Saw me. I'm on the wall.
You're over there. You can't see it now because
you can't see it.
You also bring a curse with you, Mega Ran, here to Kind of Funny. I swear to God, every single time, with the exception of maybe the original time when you went to the spare bedroom, something breaks, something goes wrong every time that you're coming here, and I hate it because we
never
love you
fails
so much, and I feel so bad that you get the worst of Kind of Funny. Like, as you can see right now, we can't do the whole set because the computer broke this morning. So Kevin's been frantically trying to fix it, doing his best job, but the TV screen down there is not working, so we can't have the fireplace. Everything's going wrong, but we're trucking along here. But I want to apologize for some other times. I know we've had scheduling conflicts before where you were supposed to be here, and you show up, and we're like, oh, no.
Like, oh, that was today? Oh.
Yeah, so I appreciate you still loving us, even though we've had a lot of issues.
But I know the nature of the business. Everything is flexible. Anything that can go wrong sometimes does, and I get it. You know, I am probably the worst at scheduling, you know, so I totally get it. My wife gets on me about double booking or things falling through all the time. So I absolutely understand. It's never a hard feeling or a situation of upsetness because I know that we'll make it happen the next time. And we always do. There's always a next time.
That's what cool friends
appreciate.
Are for. Ladies and gentlemen, this is We Have Cool Friends each and every Monday right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames live. We talk to some of our cool friends. If you can't watch live, that's okay. You can watch it later. YouTube.com/kindoffunny. RoosterTeeth.com. You can also listen to it by searching your favorite podcast service for We Have Cool Friends. We would really appreciate 5-star ratings, two thumbs up, 10 out of 10, gold stars, all the nice things. We appreciate you wherever you want to consume us in this show. If you want to get the show early, ad-free, not early, just ad-free, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like Al Tribesman and David Mintel. Thank you. Did to become Patreon producers. But now, let's get right to it. Cool, Greg.
Yo.
Last night, you watched Clash of the Champions, right? The WWE pay-per-view?
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With James Burke.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. WWE in review. You can get it at patreon.com/kindoffunny. Mm-hmm. How up-to-date are you on the WWE current product?
I mean, I pay attention. I have a monthly show about it, so I like to say I'm in the know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What about you, Mega Man?
I'm pretty into it. I run a podcast as well. Shout out to Matt Mania. We talk weekly about wrestling, but when I'm on tour, I miss shows. But we keep a group chat going, and I'm pretty up to date. But with tour, I probably missed the last 1 to 2 live shows, mm-hmm. but I haven't missed much,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So I think we're in a situation where it's kind of rolling along. It's not bad, but I think that it hasn't changed a whole lot in the last, like, probably 3 to 4 weeks. So I'm pretty updated.
Yeah, just mm-hmm. waiting for that road to WrestleMania when things start getting interesting again.
Yeah, yeah.
He had mentioned Matt Mania. That's the only Patreon I subscribe to.
Gangster. Wow. Yeah, shout out to Cool Greg for that.
That's also one of my favorite things, and one of the reasons I wanted to have you here with this is you guys kind of have your own friendship relationship, like, outside of the whole kind of funny thing.
That's
Cool
true.
Greg always showing up, always kind of hanging out with you everywhere you go.
That's true, man. I remember, gosh, it was a few years ago. I was in Oakland, and you came out to that show, same show our car got broken into after. But
not related incidents, I promise you.
No, not related. But it was like best of times, worst of times, because Greg came through and was like, yo, you got to sign my cassette. And I was like, sure, man, like, absolutely. And I remembered that, and I was like, man, that was really cool, man. Like, you ordered it, and then you came to the show. Like, that was awesome. So definitely. You've always shown us love. I appreciate it, man.
Huge fan of that. I remember some Warriors showed up to that concert.
So yo,
that
was cool crazy. One. The Warriors, like, they played a dope game, and they, like, beat Oklahoma City. I think that was the year that Kevin Durant decided he was out of Oklahoma City. And then the Warriors came by to the spot. It was crazy. It was like Andre Iguodala, Draymond Green, a bunch of guys. Crazy times.
Yeah. That's awesome. And so what then from that, like, it was maybe, I guess, a couple years later if the Warriors were doing that then. But WrestleMania at New Orleans.
Yep.
He came through. You were doing a show.
We hung out. We did Matt Mania Live out there. Greg came through. Oh, that was awesome. He was hosting with Leva Bates, who's now with AEW. Yeah,
let Greg host.
Like, awesome stuff, dope, man. That was really fun.
I never expected it to go like that. Because when he DM'd me, he's like, hey, you're going to WrestleMania, right? He's like, hey, you trying to host a concert? I'm like, does he know I don't host? I don't know how to do that. So when I showed up, he just kept saying, like, don't even worry about it. Just remind them to, like, you know, tip the waiter, whatever, and get some drinks.
Yeah, just go tell them to drink.
You know, keep getting drinks.
That's it.
And I was nervous, but it was fun, man. Met a bunch of dope rappers I still follow to this day. And, yeah, it was cool. And
thank you, man.
We had
Hannibal.
Hannibal guy.
Hannibal came through. Oh, man.
Hannibal Buress,
a legend.
Right?
Hannibal
Buress. So explain that, because, like, he was trying to tell me what happened, and I just couldn't believe it.
Well, I mean, he was in New Orleans with Open Mike Eagle. They're buddies from way back, and Mike was on the show. Shout out to Mike. And he has a song with Hannibal. And so he brought Hannibal out as, like, a secret surprise guest. So Hannibal was hanging out in the backstage the whole time. Like, this is interesting. And I was like, are you into wrestling? He's like, no, not at all, but I'm going to WrestleMania. I'll figure it out. And just hilarious guy who just happened to just come through.
I love it, man.
I love when stuff like that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was standing there and I had my own mic because I was introducing everyone. So beforehand, I would talk to the artist and be like, hey, is there anything I should say? Like, how do you want to be introduced, you know? And then randomly, like, during someone's set, a dude comes up to me that I didn't recognize because we're in the back of a bar. And he was like, hey, give me the mic. And I was like, and he's like, hey, give me the mic. And I'm like, fuck, I really don't think I should give this guy the mic. He does not seem like someone who should have the mic. He seems, you know, all due respect, he seems really drunk. And I was just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, he was
but
drunk.
Eventually, you know, he was assertive enough to, like, get the mic. So I was like, all right, fuck it. Then he just walks on stage and just starts rapping. And then the dude next to me is like, oh, bro, is that Hannibal, whatever, Mike? Who's that? He's like, oh, the comedian. I'm like, oh, bro, I said, it all clicks. And I was like, I know who he is. But I'm like, oh, shit, he raps? And he's like, I don't think so. He's on stage rapping, dude.
Mike wrote a rap for him for the album, and it's a hilarious rhyme, and he spits it perfectly every time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, Hannibal's, like, my favorite comedian, too. So that was a real cool surprise.
Such a cool small world, man.
Small world. Wrestling bringing people together,
And dude, that's the magic of WrestleMania, I think, in particular, is WrestleMania weekend, when you're there, there, it's special. It's like, it reminds me a lot of like video game conventions or like PAX or like, you know, just any convention around fandoms where it's just the entire city is taken over by kind of hype and things to do. Yeah. And like, it, you know, we always talk about the best friend mentality of just like, hey, you're at this place, there's going to be a bunch of people that have similar interests. Yeah. Just go talk to someone, have fun, go hang out, look at events going on, go to the arcades, do whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like WrestleMania has that energy to it.
Absolutely. It always feels like a reunion. A lot of my friends sometimes don't even go to Mania. You know, last year I went in New York. I didn't even go to Mania. I just hung out. You know, well, I was there doing something with another company, so that explains that. But I was there for ROH. So I just, but I saw so many people that I only see at wrestling events. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just like the con scene where you're like, oh, all the buddies, let's go have some drinks. And it's a family reunion every year. It's totally cool. Now I have wrestle buddies. I have con buddies, gaming buddies, hip hop buddies. So it's just great. Yeah. And they all come together now around wrestling, which is pretty cool.
It is. It's really cool. And I love too that like you get to be my buddy for all of those things. Cause I feel like that's when I see you is at, like I see you at E3. I see you at the PAXs. I see you at the wrestling
and
events.
Then at WrestleMania,
it's so great.
We're
man.
Like everywhere now, which is really cool. It's always good to see some familiar faces.
Super
and
fun.
Make new friends.
And so going back to what I was saying about, you know, you were talking about Hannibal being there and how it's a small world. It's crazy that like these things just kind of just happen. These random, like, you didn't know he raps. It's like, well, he did this one thing, whatever. One of my favorite things about you, because you kind of are a bit more focused in the subject matter and content, like you'll make your rap stuff, but then you'll also make wrestling rap. You'll also make video game rap. And like some of that kind of crosses over where it is. It's just rap. But then some of it is a bit more targeted, I guess is the right way to put it.
That's
right?
A good way to put it. I try to focus my projects. I think in concepts, you know? So if I come up with a great idea about a song, I'm like, this idea might be so broad that I'd rather just make an entire project around it. So I do EPs based on the thing I'm thinking about. Like, if I'm really into Stranger Things, like, why one song? Like, let me just do four so I can tell the different pieces of the story, you know? So
Baby Shark was robbed. It should have got a whole EP then instead of just a song.
If you haven't heard the Mega Ran Baby Shark remix,
wait a minute,
it's amazing. We talked
EP
about it
about Baby Shark.
You guys talked about that, and it was awesome.
Dude, I had a lot of fun with that, and that was thanks to my wife. She brought that up. She was, I don't know. Every once in a while, I'll play that song just to drive her crazy. She's like, "Stop playing it!" And then the do 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 do, and she's like, "Well, these bills are do 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 do," and I was like, and I started writing the song. So it all came together, and yeah, like that was really fun. So ideas like that, or maybe get a one-off song or a Patreon song, and the rest will, if they keep getting kind of fleshed out, I'm like, oh, well, let's go with a whole EP. But Baby Shark EP, maybe. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
But so because you have that kind of targeted audience and kind of targeted idea, I feel like it allows like really cool, fun moments to happen, like whether it's on stage or just in songs. But like I feel like with Kind of Funny Live, which you've now done twice, you did KFL 2 and 3.
I did the prom, yeah.
Both of them kind of have that like moments where we kind of take your music and you performing and add an extra element to it that like make it really special. Kind of Funny Live 2, Colin came out and
From Dr. Wily. That was incredible.
And it's like, that's so special because Mega Man means so much to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been a fan of you forever. So him coming out and doing that verse with you, like, it was such a hype thing of like, no one expected him to grab the mic and kill it too.
That was a KFL moment for you. Like, I mean, just to see him like nail it, dude, like he had the swagger down. He had the lines down. Just so much confidence and like nailed it. And then for, was it 3 that we got to bring up Xavier Woods?
Xavier Woods killing
his verse
for the newest song, yeah.
Like, so yeah, I love being able to create those moments within the fandoms, like the things that we all love. You know, that's been a great part of doing, you know, KFL events for you guys.
Have there been other moments like that, like outside of Kind of Funny Lives? Like, have there been like crazy collaborations you got to do?
Oh yeah, we've Grimecraft, another best friend. Him and I have been able to do crazy stuff at MAGFest where we'll do a big giant combined set. And the last one, he had an inflatable like whale
dolphin,
right? Yeah, and then just jumps out in the crowd surfing on the dolphin while I'm rapping. Oh, it was just insane. Just this past weekend at Mag West with the Super Soul Bros, who are an amazing band out of the Bay Area. we got together and did a full set together for the first and probably only time ever. So that was huge to be able to do that. So yeah, events like that, when I know a bunch of people are going to be there, always make sure to bring everybody out and have a good time. So at MAGFest this past year, Xavier was there. So he came out, he did his verse, but he was cosplaying as Skate from Streets of Rage. So it made it like extra epic, you know, where he's like on skates rapping. Like, it was crazy. So any chance I get to do something awesome like that, I try to do that. Yeah.
So what is MAGFest?
Music and Game Festival. So it's just basically game music all the time. 24 hours of anywhere you walk, you will hear someone replaying or working on a video game melody. And they just kids like me who grew up loving video game music, you know, whether it's retro games or even current games. And so there you're able to see a few years ago, they had Yuzo Koshiro, the Streets of Rage composer, come up, play his tunes live. They've had Austin Wintory of Journey come and play his stuff live. They've had the Earthbound Papas, which is Nobu Uematsu, play Final Fantasy live. So you get to see like amazing moments of some of the music that's, to me, shaped my childhood, being played out live on a stage. So it's pretty epic, man. And that's, I always say, it's the one place where I get to feel like Beyonce a little bit, because yeah, I've been playing there a long time, and now it's gotten to the point where it's 10, 15, almost 20,000 people. Damn. And they all kind of know me. So then we're all in one place together. So I literally can't take two steps without somebody being like, Megaran, oh my gosh. So I got engaged there. Like a lot of big moments have happened there. And, you know, so now it's like, they're family, you know, everyone, whether I've even met them or had a conversation with them, like they're all my family. So it's a really cool feeling. Once you go to one, you'll be in for life. So I highly recommend getting to MAGFest at least once.
I've always wanted to, man. Like growing up in the time that I did, where, you know, it was kind of my middle school, high school age in the early 2000s, where internet MP3s were kind of like just popping off, like VGMix.com and OC Remix.
Yeah.
Like I lived on those sites, and like they would all perform at MAGFest, and I wanted to go so bad. But something that I like, so I was raised on that stuff, the independent hip hop scenes, kind of like underground stuff, like popping up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget like first finding you on MySpace.
Wow.
With Grow Up.
It had to be the Megaran album. Yeah, Grow Up.
Of course.
Gosh, 2007 now. And I thought it was going to be all over, but it was IGN who did a review of the Megaran album and like gave it like an 8 or something. I was like, okay, cool. And then I got an email that like maybe the day or two later, on my MySpace, like a DM from Capcom, you know, and I'm like, oh shit, how did they find this? You know, like, so the guy's messaging me like, hey, and it was Seth Killian, shout out to him, who was like, yeah, I work at Capcom and, you know, Capcom Unity, we kind of highlight fan art, and we just saw this thing you did, and we just wanted to tell you, we really like it a lot. And I'm like, oh, really? And they were like, so Comic-Con's coming up in a month. How would you like to come and be a special guest and just kind of sit and sign autographs for an hour? And I'm like, what? You know? So that was when I realized that there was actually an audience for this crazy thing I was doing. So I made that for myself. The Mega Man rap album was to please me. That's it. It wasn't made for anybody else. You know, because I was like, I'm surely the only person who likes Mega Man and hip hop. I'm the only person, you know. So I want to make that for myself. And so I did. And then it kind of blew up. But, you know, I think that stuff like that works out because you're not making it for the desired goal. Like if I said, oh, man, I know this thing's going to go platinum, or I know that this is going to blow up, it wouldn't have, you know, but I just made it because it was the thing that I had always wanted to see in the world, you know, and I thought like hip hop heads and gamers are so separated by this invisible line that why can't we hang out in the same place? And, you know, I grew up in Philly, and a lot of my friends, well, older kids would tease me for playing games, you know, but then they would play games later, or, you know, they're into Madden and Call of Duty and other stuff, you know. But I'm like, that's still gaming, you know. So, yeah, man, I just wanted to create the thing that I didn't see in the world. So that happens. Capcom calls me. Everything's working out well. And that's probably how Colin found me, I would imagine.
Definitely.
And and so, yeah, they were like, we really love this. How would you like to work together on another thing? And that was when they were working on Mega Man 9. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote a song that would become probably my biggest song, which is Splash Woman. And I was like, oh, they have a female boss character. Like, this is a perfect story. So I wrote a love story about that. And by then, Seth had moved on. And then the next person was like, oh, this is great. Let's bring this to, you know, have you heard of the Proto Men? Have you heard of the Megas and all these other folks? And they were working on a 25th anniversary soundtrack album. And then I wrote a song, Wiley, for that. And that's the song that Colin rapped at KFL. So, Mega Man's been just so important to me and my upbringing that I wanted to give something back to the legacy. And then fast forward, when Mighty No. 9 comes out, Keiji Inafune contacts me and says, hey, I want you to write a song for the end credits.
Wow. I'm like, the creator of Mega Man.
What the what? You know what I mean? So to go from sitting in my bedroom in Philly to being able to sit in a room with Inafune and work on a song for his game was just, you know, shows me the sky's the limit. Like, if you have an idea and you focus and you just work hard on it, see it through to the end, who knows what can happen?
Yeah.
You know, like you guys.
You got
to
love it.
I always say, man, like, you guys are such heroes to me to be able to go out on a limb and create this massive empire.
It's awesome,
of things that always work correctly.
Oh yeah,
you
always
know,
100% of the time. So you said you were a teacher, and mm-hmm. I remember this back when the Mega Ran stuff was first mm-hmm. popping off. Like, I heard that, I'm like, I gotta go back. I gotta find out, like, what's mm-hmm. this dude's story. So you were a rapper before that, though, just under Random.
I was rapping under the name Random, just freestyling, doing a lot of open mics in Philly, and I did an album called The Call, which is, I would say, a more traditional hip hop album, conscious rap record, which I'm really, really proud of. But to me, it was not negative, but it was a little draining to get into the subject matter I was into. You know, it was a lot of political stuff, a lot of like emotional, spiritual warfare that I was, you know, rapping about. And I was like, man, I need like a palate cleanser. And then it was video games. And I went back, started playing emulators that I legally own the rights to the games to.
100%.
And I started playing old games again. And it was just like, man, it's all coming back to me. And those feelings of innocence were like really like inspiring new lyrics, new concepts, new rhymes. So that was really what it was for me. And then it took me probably 6-7 years from there just to find the courage and the creativity to combine them. Be like, yo, I can make a dope rap record that doesn't sample a game or isn't directly about a game, but like can also let gamers know that I'm, you know, a gamer, you know, or that I'm also a guy who can rap, you know. So I made a song called OP, another one called Church, which are traditional hip hop records that are backed by gaming concepts. So now I think I finally found that happy medium, that middle ground where I can create songs that I really love that gamers will dig and hip hop heads will dig, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when that was all popping off, 2007 to 2009 or whatever, with the Mega Ran and Mega Ran 9 stuff, I would argue that those were some of the first viral video game music related things.
Maybe.
That really kind of started popping. There was the Brental Floss was
Brental Floss was big. Dwayne and Brando were big. Yeah, those were some of the first that I had seen. And I remember when I first started doing it, I Googled to see if it was anybody doing what I was doing. I was like, video game hip hop. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't find anything. Video game rap songs or anything like that. But yeah, that was around, 08, 09. I did a song with Dwayne and Brando and then they broke up. So the song never came out. Brental Floss and I went on tour together. So when I found people doing something similar, I reached out, mm-hmm. you know, and I was like, we got to do a show together or tour together or come to Comic-Con together or something like that. So, Brental Floss is a great friend of mine. And I think that was around the time where a lot of that stuff started happening. It was just good timing to be kind of in the video game world.
So then you kind of link up with a lot of those people. Like, even when you first came to the original Kinda Funny studio for Colin and Greg Live way, way, way early on.
Way
I think this was like a month into us doing the
really?
Whole thing. Yeah.
Wow.
And you came with Danimal Cannon.
Danimal. Shout out to Danimal.
And he did this crazy shit where he was like playing a guitar mm-hmm. that was like linked up to a Game Boy.
Yep.
So like it was making like Game Boy sounds when he was playing the guitar.
Yeah, he's a monster, dude. And that's all, like, he's programmed the Game Boy tracks. It's not like him playing a Tetris theme or running a whatever. He's programming the song, and then he's playing guitar over top of it. So it's really cool stuff. The chip scene. I'm going to Japan tomorrow, actually. And
oh, shit.
I get to play
with Nick Scarpino's there.
Yeah. I'll hopefully run into him. And a lot of the guys out there are, like, the originators of, like, the chiptune music scene. So I get to play with some kind of legendary cats who will sit like two Game Boys in front of you and a DS and just like program something here, here, and here, and then sing on top of it. You know, Omodaka is a guy who did the music for Ape Escape, if you remember that game. Is an amazing chip musician out there who will like pre-program video games, play the game live while he's like singing, and it's just some really cool stuff. So I see all types of innovation out there, and I'm like inspired to try it at home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So with the rap stuff, obviously there's a lot of bravado. There's a lot of kind of like, I'm better than you, my dick's bigger than yours, like yeah. That type of energy that, you know, people.
That's the name of my next single. Yeah, by the way.
There you go. that people associate with that with the music, being kind of more on the, there's nerdcore music, yeah. Right, which is kind of what we've been talking about, all the different styles of it. And then there's rap music. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like what you do gets unfairly judged against traditional rap music?
No, I think at the end of the day, it's rap music, you know, it's rooted in hip hop, you know, and I used to kind of be like, well, it's not quite, well, it's sort of hip hop, but you know, it's hip hop if you like this thing. And at the end of the day, it's got a beat, and it's got rhyming couplets at the end. So it's hip hop. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the stage it should be judged on. And I think if you do that, you set it next to whoever's out there or whatever's rap is out there, I think it stands up, you know, but people kind of look at it being a niche thing, you know, like, oh, it's a special kind of rap. It doesn't count. Like, I've had friends tell me that, like, oh, you know, you're not on the top 10 list because what you do is a little different. You know, it's like, why not? Like, are the raps good? You know, I think that's what it should come down to. Are the songs good? You know, but yeah, there is some unfair judgment, I guess, from like the purists, you know, who will be like, oh, that's not real rap because it's not, you're not sampling, I don't know, Marvin Gaye. You're sampling Mario, you know, and it's like, well, the reason why I sample is not because it just sounds dope. It's because these are the things that inspired me, you know, and the things that bring things out of me. And I also don't want people to forget a lot of those composers. Koji Kondo is a freaking genius, you know, and I want people to remember that these people created awesome stuff. And hopefully that'll make you go back and find them, you know. So when I sample, it's not just because it sounds dope or it's an easy way to catch your ear. It's because these are the things that I love.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I love that. Like, I don't know how familiar you are with XXX, but on the deluxe edition of the album, what happened? You can explain it better than I can.
I don't know the lady's name, but the Kingdom Hearts composer?
Yes.
Yeah, I found out X was a huge fan because he was always tweeting about how much he respects that game's soundtrack. And then she made something just for him.
Wow.
Custom sample.
Yeah. Oh, that's dope.
Okay,
that's dope.
Video games are inspiring people, man. Like,
I really like I haven't heard that one, but I really like the XXX album, Sad.
Yeah.
Was it? Yeah. Oh, man. I play that album constantly. Yeah. So
that's a song on this album.
So this is like the deluxe.
Okay.
Of that. Ooh,
all right.
So on the flip side then of what I was talking about, of like, did you face kind of like issues there? Did you face issues on the other side, kind of being, I would argue, the top of the game of what you do? Because I feel like on one side, rap is my dick's bigger than yours. Mm-hmm. On the other side, it's like when you're on the quote unquote underground side, selling out's not cool. Being popular is not cool.
That's true.
Being the face of Capcom, rapping for the man, the Mega Man.
Oh, the Mega Man. Yeah, good point. I want to make sure it's clear that, you know, Capcom has never written me a check. You know what I mean? So I don't work for them. I don't work for WWE. I don't work for anybody. I just create music that I enjoy, you know, and if I'm contracted to do something for someone, then, you know, that's fine. There's a great new episode of Adam Ruins Everything with Open Mike Eagle on it. And he's talking about the music business and how sales are so different with streaming and all that. And how now for artists to make a living, you kind of have to do brand endorsement deals. But sometimes they're on a smaller scale. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Pepsi or Apple isn't necessarily throwing indie artist contracts. Thank God. You know, there's cool clothing companies. There's cool brands. There's indie game developers who are like, hey, can you write a song for me? You know, things like that. I don't know if people consider it selling out. I did a track for Mortal Kombat 11. And, you know, I've been playing Mortal Kombat my whole life. So, you know, it's on brand, you know. Yeah. So I try to make sure that any participation with any deal I do is on brand. It's not something like, oh, well, here's Mega Ran for Viagra. You know what I mean? And it's like, well, I've never used it. I mean, I might at some point, but
not throwing shade,
but I haven't yet, you know, so I might have to someday, but you know, no shade.
I feel like you approached all this in that song, Emerald Nights Ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like you're talking about just all of this.
Oh, that's a good one. Everybody want to know the recipe, how the boys stay humble with stripes like a referee, getting notes like a treasury, that, yeah, that's things like that. But anyway, so yeah, there's always the people want to understand how you can do it. How can you stay true to yourself and also pay your bills? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the ultimate thing with an artist. It's like, man, if you do that thing, your core base might be like, oh, he's too big now. I liked him when he was small time. Like, really? You liked me when all I could eat was ramen noodles, like cup of noodles, and, you know, I couldn't pay my bills and couldn't, and my car was being repoed. Like, you enjoyed that Mega Ran, you know? So yeah, it's a tough thing, but ultimately you have to please yourself. And that's where I took me a long time to get there, but I think now I'm happy with what I put out, I'm happy with how I present myself, and I'm excited for what's next. So as long as I can stay excited after doing this for 10 plus years, that's really the secret.
So you were a teacher, at some point you stopped being a teacher, at some point you started doing this full time.
I quit cuz kids are bad. Yeah. Kids suck.
Have you made it in your mind? Like, are you like, no more ramen, no more whatever? Like, you and of course everybody wants more, but like, do you feel like you are creating on a level that is allowing you to live your life the way that you want to?
Yeah, sorta. I mean, you know, I could use a few more patrons. Patreon.com/Megaran, by the way. But I feel like I'm able to pay my bills. As much as I complained about Spotify and streaming back in the day, it's now gotten to a point where it pays my bills, you know? So could it be more? Absolutely. But I know that my worst and my hardest day doing this, making music, six people come to a show or somebody's angry at me on the internet or something like that. My worst day doing this, it's still better than any best day of teaching a room full of 35, 12-year-olds who don't want to be there, you know, or with me getting no support from my administration staff and things like that, and rocking old textbooks that are, you know, things are falling out of them, you know. So I'm happy. To me, every day is a success story. Every day above ground for me is a success story. So I'm totally good. You know what I mean? Financially, you know, it's a struggle. You know, I work hard because I want to, but also because I have to. You know what I mean? We do have to work twice as hard to keep the things that we worked for. You know what I mean? And I believe that. I'm sure you guys work harder now, you know, than you did, you know, trying to get it going, you know? So it's like, now to maintain it, you got to keep
maintain
going
and grow.
Absolutely. And you still want to grow.
Multiple jobs at once. You're like,
you still want to grow. Yeah. So absolutely. I feel like I'm successful because I have an awesome wife and I have an awesome support system at home. We live in a nice, decent house. We got a new bed and it's comfortable. Woo! You know what I mean? So like, I feel great about that, you know, and most importantly, I feel great about the stuff that I put out. I never feel like I have to put something out that I wouldn't have put out normally just because I had to pay bills that month, you know, and things like that. That's success to me. It's being able to create without fear of not being, I would hate to be that guy who just hated the stuff that they made, you know. You make that big pop hit and you have to play it for the rest of your life. We're lucky. I don't have that situation. I mean, I got to play Splash Woman the rest of my life, but I love it. So, so it's okay, you know? So yeah, I think I'm a success in my eyes because I didn't think I would be here. You know, I thought I'd be teaching forever or something like that. And now I get to travel the world and hang out with cool folks like y'all. So,
you're saying Splash Woman is your biggest hit. What are some of your other biggest hits?
Well, Avalanche, the Final Fantasy VII track, is a big one. Church has become a big one. OP with Richie Branson is a big one. Yeah, those have been the really big ones. Dr. Wiley is definitely a huge one for me. Those are probably the ones. Lately, I wrote a song called Home that's really climbing up on my charts. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think that's what makes it better. I had a friend hit me up. It was like, dude, you're getting better every year. And I was just like, whoa. Like, and it was a guy I really respected and looked up to who told me that. And he's like, man, how are you able to make in 2019 better stuff than you were making when you were like hungry in 2009, you know? And I'm happy to hear stuff like that, because like I'm constantly working and getting better. So so yeah, man, those are the big ones. I think, you know, top five, I would say like I Can't Go Anywhere Without Playing are Splash Woman, Wiley, Avalanche, OP, Church, I would say. Yeah.
Why is it that you think that your music's better now than it used to be?
I think I've found myself. You know, I understand songwriting more. I understand. And I've learned how to fall in love with the process. I've been reading a lot of like self-help books, and they always say like a key thing is fall in love with the process, not the result, you know, because one person could like it or a million people could like it. But if you like it, then it's a success, mm-hmm. you know? And so I'm so happy when I finish and I hear it, I'm like, ooh, you know, I get to make those crazy faces while I'm listening, like Jay-Z does those, ooh, yeah, you know? And that feeling is better than, you know, two people telling me they dig it or putting a flame emoji under it on Twitter. But that feeling that I know that I'm super happy with what I did, you know? So I've learned how to fall in love with the process. And that, to me, now I'm going into podcasting and I want to be the best at that. I tell these stories called Random Encounters. I just started a new podcast.
Great, man.
Where I do just short 8 to 10 minute stories just on my life and a lesson I've learned. Because now I want to spread these little gems to other people who might be wanting to create, you know. And that's about the only thing I've seen is being at the top of my game, as you said, or the best in the, what did you say? The top guy. I don't know. What did you? Whatever.
I don't remember what I said. But like
greatest of all time. Something like that. You said. So I'm like, remember Jericho used to say that? He's like, I am the best in the world at what I do, and I feel that so way. Bad. Like I am the best in the world at what I do, because awesome. There's nobody that can combine hip hop, video games, and hip hop video and wrestling. Purity and create dope jams like I can. So now that I feel
gimmicky, I think that's kind of like the key thing for me that mm-hmm. that has, you've always done so well is do something that in concept should be gimmicky and corny.
Yeah,
but you find a way to get to the nut of it and make it something special that feels organic and feels real.
It feels
like,
real.
I think your Final Fantasy VII project is a perfect example of that. Where it's not just like, I'm going to rap over Final Fantasy VII beats, because that alone would be dope, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not just going to then kind of like make a bunch of references to things and names and say stuff. It's like, you told a story with that album that backs up the story of the game, but isn't just a carbon copy. You added perspective to it, right?
Yeah, like, that was really important to me. It's probably my favorite game of all time. So I dug so deep in that project. So I'm super proud of that. And we're working on a remake, you know, to line up with, you know, it's time. So yeah, I want to do that, and I'm really looking forward to sitting back down, because back then I was recording myself. I was in my closet in my studio apartment, and I didn't know anything about mixing or techniques to record. And now there's a lot of things I would have done better. So I want to go back, rewrite, and just tighten that up and put that out again. So that's coming next year. Before the remake of the game.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
My favorite memory from E3 this year, for sure, was running into you right before we went into the Final Fantasy VII remake.
That was amazing.
Demo. And like, it was a straight up Disneyland ride. Like we go into the like little queue area, and like the lights turn off, sirens start going on. They built the train station in Midgard. It's just like, what is happening right now?
That was a great experience. That was really cool. And we got to experience that game together, and that was really cool.
Yeah, super fun. Mm-hmm. So, speaking of, like, we're talking about small worlds and how, like, we see each other at E3. We run into each other all over the place. And, you know, Xavier Woods will be there or Hannibal Buress or whatever. Something I think is crazy is kind of watching my worlds collide in other ways. Where recently I saw that you were on a tour and you were on the same lineup as this rapper Substantial.
No.
Are you familiar?
Yeah, you know Substantial?
Oh, yeah. Like, Substantial is, undeniably homie. One of, like, my favorite artists of all time.
So great.
Part of the Q&5 Collective, Tone Deaf, all that Tone stuff. Deaf. Yeah, and seeing you guys together, Marcus D was there as well, yes. I think.
I went to Japan for the first time with Substantial and Marcus D, and they had been a bunch, so it was just a honor to be out there with them, and it's like a crash course, you know, on how to operate in foreign countries, and because they've done it so much. Like, after that, they were going to Taiwan. Like, we were going back home, they're going to Taiwan. So, shout out to Substantial. He's a guy that I guess I see a lot of myself in, you know, also a teacher, works with the youth.
Yeah.
Awesome stage presence, tells stories, just like the complete package as an MC and as a father and as a beat maker. Like, he does so many things and he's able to balance them so well. And like, he just, and he makes dope music,
yeah.
You know, about being a man, you know, and I love that about Stan. And I want to work on more music with him in the future. So, yeah, it's been an honor anytime we've been on a bill together.
Have you guys worked together on anything?
Gosh, we started something, but it never got finished. So we need to do that. Stan, if you're watching, let's get to work.
He did have that song, That Damn Good, with the Triple H sample. Remember that's right. That?
Yes, damn, he did a Triple H sample. Yeah, he did. Okay.
Marcus D, one of the guys we're talking about, the producer, I recommended his album Retroed a long time ago on the morning show, and a ton of people ended up getting it. It's like essentially just like chill trip hop sounding beats, mm-hmm. instrumentals, perfect to work with, the anime playlist type stuff. Yeah. But better than that.
I'm on a track on there. We did a track called The Blues, where he had me rap as Proto Man.
So cool.
And so that was really cool. Like, and I had never done that before. Of all the Mega Man stuff I had done, I don't really get into Proto Man a lot, you know, because he's later in the series. And I didn't do it until that song. So, yeah, that track, The Blues, is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Shout out to Marcus D.
Hell yeah,
good
man.
Good dude. He did a, he's produced for me a few times, actually. We did a TJ Perkins remix when his track first dropped. It was like this, it sounded like a Wiley track. Like, it sounded like Mega Man. And I was like, oh, you got to flip this for me, bro. And he, like, he flipped it. We did a track to it. Now TJP is one of my best friends. So, you know, I did a new song for him that's going to be playing during Impact. So look out for that.
Wow. That's really cool. So, you did the Final Fantasy VII album. There's the Mega Man album. Have you ever wanted to do another album based on a game like that?
I want to do Mass Effect, honestly, one day. I really think it'll happen at some point. It's been in the back of my head for a long time. Final Fantasy IX is another one that's special to me that I would like to do at some point. I don't know, you know, but I also want the Mega Ran legacy, and this is going to sound weird, to kind of stand on its own, you know, where it's not necessarily leaning on famous franchises as much,
yeah.
You know. So therefore, when I get to a point where I have just as many hits, bangers that are original tracks as I do video game theme tracks, then I'll be able to jump back into more of those. So, usually on Patreon, we take suggestions. So whenever somebody's like, hey, have you ever played this game? And I'm like, oh, I haven't. So I'll go back and play it. And if I dig it, I'll write a song on it, you know? So we did a Fallout track. We've done like some old NES game, Journey to Silius. I started playing.
It's Jared Petty shit.
And man, super hard game, holy crap. But yeah, I had to play all the way through it so I could write a song about it. So yeah, I enjoy doing that and finding new stuff at the same time. But Mass Effect is at the top of my list.
Awesome.
For sure.
Before we move on, let me tell you that this episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Let me talk to you, Greg.
Yeah.
Here's the deal.
Let me hear you, bro. Mean?
Every once in a while, you gotta shave your balls.
I want to hear it, bro.
But but when you do, sometimes you get nicked, things hurt, and it's a bad look for everybody involved. But Manscaped is here. They have redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your nuts. He's acting all shy and embarrassed. Guess what? His nuts are going to be perfectly clean after he uses this. Don't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls. That's just nasty. Manscaped also has the Crop Preserver. First off, thank you, Manscaped, for sponsoring this show. I just love so much that this is a legitimate thing that we are talking about. Because, man, we don't talk enough about men's about our balls, about men's needs. You know what I mean?
True.
Their grooming needs. And here we go. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code MORNING at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Your balls will thank you. Again, you can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code MORNING at manscaped.com. And also, if you're a man, I got more for you. Hims. 66% of men start to lose their hair by age 35. Once you've noticed thinning hair, it can be too late. Is that hairline slowly starting to move backwards? Any bald spots yet? Here's the deal. Andy Cortez, Nick Scarpino, they noticed some things were going on. They're like, we got to get ahead of this. They've been using Hims. They could not make it any more easy. There's no snake oil pills or gas station counter supplements. Prescription solutions backed by science. There's no more awkward in-person doctor visits or long pharmacy lines. Forums connects you to real doctors online, which could save you hours. It's completely confidential and discreet. You just answer a few questions. A real doctor will review, and if they determine it's right for you, can prescribe you medication to treat hair loss that is shipped directly to your door. You guys, you can get started with the Hims Complete Hair Kit for just $5 today, right now, while supplies last and subject to doctor's approval. You can see the website for full details and safety information. This could cost hundreds if you went to the doctor or a pharmacy somewhere else. Go to forhims.com/KFMS. That's forhims.com/KFMS. Forhims.com/KFMS. Sorry about that, Cool Greg.
Well, it's all good, man.
So now we got Cool Greg back.
What's happening?
Hey.
Mega Rant, what music have you been listening to recently?
Ooh, good one. Just finished the new Joell Ortiz album Monday. The new JPEG Mafia album. It's crazy.
JPEG Mafia?
Yeah. Are you familiar?
No, I'm not.
Peggy for short. Yeah.
Haven't heard that.
Yeah. That's funny. He's awesome. That's funny. Yeah, man. It's wild, like rock star rap music, man. Like, it's just loud. It's frenetic. And it's really fun. It's good stuff. What else have I started listening to? I think that's it for now. But I've been all over the place. The Last Ride. What did you play for me, 88-bit? Lewis Cole. Lewis Cole, who's incredible. If you're into some jazz, you'll love it. He's also a vocalist, right? Yeah, so he's a vocalist drummer, Lewis Cole. It's good stuff. I highly recommend it. Album's called Time, right?
Yeah.
Go get that.
Cool.
You ever heard of this guy called Sugar Tongue Slim, STS, out of Philly?
Yeah, from Philly.
That guy's got a new project?
I don't think so. I've always loved. He's from Philly. He lived in Atlanta for a while. Yeah, man, he's dope. He was all over that Roots album. Which one? I don't remember. But he's really good. He had a couple mixtapes that I dug a lot.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, if you haven't heard STS's mixtapes,
Gold Rush.
The series. Check them out, man. Like, it's him kind of in a really fun, unique style, rapping over like popular music beats, but they're flipped.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he'll sample like the hits from, at this point, like, what, 2014 or whatever. Yeah. But like, really cool stuff.
Like, got a great voice, too. Like Jagger or whatever, that song. Mm-hmm.
Moves Like Jagger.
Moves Like Jagger, yeah.
Yeah.
Those kind of songs.
He's cool, dope, man. I love his voice. Real different.
Are there any other artists that, like, whether it's rap music, the chiptune scene, nerdcore stuff, anything, like, who should we put on right now?
Well, you got to put on Sky Blue, SKYBLEW. Sky Blue, not just because he's an artist who I've brought on tour with me, but there's a reason why he's on tour with me. It's because he's great. Awesome jazzy hip hop. If you're familiar with New Jabez and a lot of the, you know, jazz hop movement, it's very reminiscent of that. Very soulful beats with positive, uplifting, colorful music. Sky Blue, man, there's so much out right now from him. But what is the one
is
with
the one
DJ Ramey? He's tagging
ad.
On the ad.
There we go.
The what is it called? The Unbelievable Journey, or the I don't know. But anyway, the newest record, so good, with DJ Ramey. Just awesome, just really soulful, smooth records that great punchlines. He's got an awesome voice, reminds me of Q-Tip from A Tribe Called Quest. So yeah, check out Sky Blue's newest project and all of his projects. And if you're in San Francisco, we're playing tonight, but this is, I don't know, is this live?
It's live right now. Yeah.
All right, so if you're in SF, come through the bottom of the hill tonight.
Cool Greg will be there.
Cheeks will be there with me.
And Cheeks Jr.
Cheeks, word. If not, get him on the internet. This is his first time out west, so he's been having a really good time. And so, yeah. Who else? I think you need to listen to A good friend of mine named Aramis 616, who's a nerdcore artist from Michigan. Really dope cat. You need to listen to Nightwing, but there's an X in the middle. So it's NYTEXING. Check him out. He's really dope. If you like good hip hop, he's got like a street edge to him. So I think what we see happening now with nerdcore, there are other guys who do other things now who would be like, yo, I'm a nerd, but I also get down. You know, I'm from the streets, or maybe I've done other things, but I also like Dragon Ball Z. So, you know what I mean? So these guys will make a lot of references with a lot more traditional sound than rap music. So I think Nightwing is one of those. Ishida is another from Kansas City, the epitome, where they call it like hardcore nerdcore. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, I'm a nerd, but also I'll beat you up. You know what I mean? So that's some fun stuff. Open Mike Eagle just put out a new record that proceeds are benefiting the Legal Immigrant Defense Fund or something like that. So that's really cool. Alfred Banks, I'll be going on tour with him and Mickey Fax later on this year. So definitely check them out. Mickey has a new record out called Motivated. Oh, man, there's so much good stuff out there. I don't want to overwhelm you all, but I just made a playlist. So go search Megaran's Spotify playlist, and it's called Rap I Like. And I always pick a song from, you know, guys that I'm really into.
That's great.
And throw them up. So I feel like that's a bit of my responsibility as like an elder statesman to put people on. Mm-hmm. You know, no one really did that when I was coming up, you know, where the bigger artists were like, yo, you got to listen to this guy. He's good. You know, people are very protective of their spot.
Yeah.
You know, but my spot's solidified because I'm the GOAT, like you said.
There we go.
So I'm okay, you know. So, but yeah, I want to help people to come forward and be known and as much as I can. And 88-Bit, who I'm on tour with, is an incredible classically trained pianist who plays classic 8-bit themes, you know, and piano. He does awesome arrangements. So he's going to be playing with me live at the show. And so check him out, 88-Bit Music. And yeah.
Very cool. You mentioned Nujabes earlier.
Yeah.
How much do you think that he kind of influenced a lot of the sound that we hear in the
Oh, totally. He's the father scene of this, like, lo-fi. I kind of laugh when I hear that term.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like, it kind of gets cringy when you talk about it.
This is like gentrified boom bap, almost. Yeah. It's like, come on, man. Like, this music has been happening since the 90s, you know, but you throw a cool name on it and it becomes trendy.
You put
and
that image of the anime girl.
The anime girl studying
Make
or with
that
the headset on and boom. It's like, man, I need to go find my old beat tapes. I was apparently making lo-fi on my freaking PlayStation. I was making beats on Music Generator.
Oh my God.
And, MTV's, you know,
Music Generator.
And I was doing lo-fi, really like muddy samples and things like that and filters. And like I was doing what would pass for lo-fi these days, but that movement is going strong, which is great. You know, I hear a lot of cool stuff that I really like in the lo-fi world, but it's not new. But mm-hmm. I think that that's okay. But I do think like, man, this has been going on for so long. So Nujabes is definitely the father to a lot of this sound, and I think that's a great thing because he was a genius, you know, and a lot of stuff he did, you know, at that time or way back is still bumps, still classic. So, yeah, there's a lot of folks out there that are inspired by Nujabes, myself included. I know Substantial, we mentioned, did records
all over those albums
with Nujabes.
Yeah, his first album ever was almost entirely produced by
Nujabes. Yeah, like here's a guy who was like right there, you know what I mean? And he said even with him, a guy who spent time with June, what his name is, and people would be like, oh no, it's pronounced Nujabes, bro. Like, nah, it's different, you know? And he's like, really? Because I like
I know him.
Sat with him. And
we're boys.
Made music together, you know? Like, so yeah, like it's a trendy thing to be down with that sound. But, you know, if the ultimate end goal is good music, then I'm okay with it. What are you into these days, Greg? What are you bumping?
Always bumping Jay-Z, man. Always. Besides that, like you guys were talking about the more gangster side of nerdcore or whatever, there's this girl, Lil Key U, who has a crazy, like, Tekashi sounding song over the Pac-Man beat.
What?
I fucking love it, man.
Okay, I need to find that.
Yeah.
All right. That's what's up. So let's talk about Jay-Z then. Now I'm asking you a question. You're a Hov stan like myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's Jay-Z all day. Lately, He's been under fire. Have you been hearing about this?
Because the NFL stuff?
The NFL stuff has got him under fire. He took a job as the NFL's like social justice head, and he's also going to oversee Super Bowl halftime events. Now, what do you think of that?
I mean, honestly, my only thoughts on that is I heard that J-Lo might do this Super Bowl halftime, and that sounds fucking dope. I'm ready for that. But as far as like Jay-Z being in charge, I'd rather him in charge than anyone else. Like, if we're not talking music about Hov, I'm not too interested as, you know, as much.
I feel you.
I don't follow all the moves.
Do you think this means new music? Or
He's still growing the hair, right? So he's been growing the hair since 444, and he's always been, when he's in album mode, he grows out
the hair. He grows the hair, yeah.
He's dropped two albums since then. So there's been a whole lot of, you know, interesting shit going on.
Maybe.
One classic album I feel that got no attention. And then there's Everything Is Love, which got like 8 Grammys, but I've never heard anyone play it.
Nah,
so I don't really understand.
A lot
how
of people don't bump it.
Out.
You know, it's just the star power. Now I've learned how Grammys work now that I'm a voting member. It's like, I don't have a chance, you know, because it's literally name recognition.
Yeah.
And as a voter, you get the paper and it's like, Taylor Swift, 90 other people you don't know. And it's like, oh, well, I know Taylor. Check. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's how it works. And you go on to the next one. So I get it. You see Jay-Z and Beyonce, you're like, all right.
Yeah, that's probably
good. I know
good.
Both of them.
I know both of them. This is definitely the one for me. You know, and they give you a listening station to listen to the other 90 records. But who has time for that?
Yeah.
Like, so you may as well just vote for the one you know.
Like, I know Obama put out his, like, summer hits or whatever. And
he had one of those songs on
there. Ape is, or Ape Shit on it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I'm just like, I can't picture Obama
really
just at
banger.
Home.
I can't even imagine that.
Yeah, but he also had songs with like from like Gunna and them, like Spaceship. And I'm like, damn, Obama,
like really?
For you, bro.
Obama, like, who's putting Obama on to this? Like, yo, Obama, peep this. That's really crazy.
That's something I've noticed too in the last couple of years since working here is since Spotify and all that shit's been around. Nick just knows words that I don't feel like he should know. He quotes Post Malone and shit. And I'm like, it's these Spotify playlists,
it's
man.
It's Spotify.
For the end of them.
It's Spotify doing it. You know, and that's funny. I talk about being from an older school of thought and rap, but like some of these new cats are really killing it, man. DaBaby, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, great.
I really like DaBaby.
He's on that new Old Town Road or Panini remix.
Panini.
He killed it.
Megan Thee Stallion's dope.
Who just signed a Rock
Nation.
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Griselda. They're on Rock Nation as well. He's snatching up all the talent, man. You know, that's Hov.
Yeah.
This is the new new state
moves.
Property. Huh? But who else? I was about to mention somebody. Tierra Whack from Philly.
Oh, yeah.
Super dope. Just like weird stuff, but like can spit it when she needs to. So it's like I really appreciate what these new kids are doing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of older cats are hating on it. But it's just the same thing when I was teaching. Like teaching kids kept me young because it let me know what they were listening to and what they were into, and I would try to understand it. Like, okay, why do you like Soulja Boy? And then we would talk about it, and they'd be like, oh, you know, it's his swag. It's a vibe. And now I understand. Sometimes music is a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not listening to DaBaby to teach me about the history of mankind. I'm listening to it to get in the zone,
yeah,
to enjoy myself. You know, so rap has a purpose. I think is what I was getting at,
mm-hmm.
And it's important to listen to everything. Because you can be inspired by the strangest stuff, you know?
To close out the show here, we like to do a little section called the Friend Zone, where you can write into patreon.com/kindoffunny to write in questions to our cool friends, just like Oh Mr. J did. The Dewey Decibel System with MC Lars was amazing.
Yeah.
Mask of the Red Death personally was my favorite.
Ooh,
which
my
song
favorite too.
Stood out most to you, and any chance there could be a Dewey Decibel too?
Red Death is my favorite as well. It was written in like a waltz time signature, so that's a 3/4 or 6/8. So it's, instead of boom boom ka, boom ba, boom ka, it's boom ka ka boom ka ka boom ah ah boom. So it was a nice opportunity to try experiment with different flows.
How does that change the writing of the
song?
Oh,
it totally rearranges the writing, but I think it's good. It's like they say, like to keep your brain sharp, you should maybe like drive a different way home sometimes from work, or, you know, walk a different way or things like that, or catch a different bus just to kind of get yourself out of a routine. That was that song for us. It's like, okay, we've been writing one way to 4/4. Let's just write a different way for this one to a 6/8 track. So it's Prospero is the name, and it's quite a shame. But that the day, the day, you know, so totally different way of approaching a song. And so that was good. It helped kept us to stay sharp. And it's a great story. I don't know if you're familiar with the Mask of the Red Death, mm-hmm, story. It's Edgar Allan Poe, and it's about these rich kids who want to have this masquerade ball, this like party away from the poor people, away from the diseased, away from like all the world's troubles that's going on outside. Like, they'll just lock into this big castle and have just a bash, you know, like Jay-Z in the Hamptons. Oh, yeah. So basically, that's what I was trying to do. It's like, yo, things are happening out in the world. Mass shootings, things are happening. No, but we want to escape that for a moment. So let's all lock into this mansion and have a great time and wear masks. And then somehow the plague gets into there and all the rich folks die. So in the song, we use a person to personify the plague. I'm the guy who didn't get the invite. And I come in a hoodie, you know, and then surprise, I'm here. Like, now I'm in, I've infiltrated your party. Now all of you are going to pay, you know, for thinking you could ignore the problems of the world. So I gave you that long explanation for what? Because I thought it was my favorite song on the record. Between the World and Me is another one of my favorites. 1984, which we did a video for with B. Dolan, is one of my favorites. Will There Be a Two? Maybe. It's hard work creating another album with another person, because what I did was I flew to Brooklyn and we locked into the studio 8 hours a day for a week to record that album. Spent months before that writing it. So I don't know if I have that kind of time again, you know, to do that with another person. And then you got to tour the record. So I got to say, hey, are you available? Are you available? Are you available? And we can't do it separately, because now each part of the song is, I'm a 50-50 owner on the on the album. So it's difficult in that regard to make time for it, you know, because it's not like I can be like, I got an idea, I'm going to sit and write it. No, I have to also call the other person. So I'd say there's a possibility of a two if we all make time for it. And if the people demand it, that's one thing I've realized. If the people want it bad enough, it'll happen. So if we were all getting a tweet every day like, hey, you know, part two, when's it happening? Then we'd definitely make time for it. So anything's possible. Thank you.
I know that so Brian Altano from IGN.
Yeah.
I know he produced a Resident Evil beat for you. Resident Evil 7 a couple years back. And then I remember you guys kind of talking on Twitter, being like, oh, we should do more together. Are there any actual plans for you guys to do more?
We've recorded one song together. I mean, he's a busy guy. He's got a baby. I'm a busy guy. I got music babies. So I think it'll happen, you know, when the time's right. But every once in a while, I text him like, hey, man, like, we still doing it, right? You know, I always just nudge him. And he'll nudge me once in a while, too. Like, hey, I sent that beat. What's up with that? So we did a song that's really important to me. It's about anxiety. And I really do hope this comes out. And I can't wait. And so I want to write more with him. And he's got a really unique style of tracks and production. So so again, it's challenging my brain. It's bringing something new out of me. So it's going to happen at some point. We already started, so it's real.
It's awesome, man. Very excited for it. Jericho writes in and says, my question is, if you had the chance to bring any musicians from the last century, dead or alive, to make a song together, who would it be, what would the genre be, and would you join them?
Would I join them? Oh, that's a good one. Wow, that is a good question. We were talking in the car. I was asking Sky Blue about it. I was like, okay, what musicians would you bring back from the dead for you to collaborate with? And man, I would say, you know, I think I would leave it alone. I wouldn't be involved, but I would bring Prince and Tupac together.
Oh, yeah.
And just let them create something. And then I'd just stand back and watch, you know, like, I did this. I put them in the room, you know. That's it. I think I would let them make magic. And I don't need, like, who knows what could come out of that? You know what I mean? That could be a number of genres, you know? So, but yeah, I think it would be something really, really dope.
That reminds me of when they had that Michael Jackson, what was it, Rock Your World with Jay? When they put it out for the anniversary thing, you know what I'm
talking about? Oh, yeah. That was dope.
But it reminds me of that Prince and, you know,
Yeah. I could see something like that.
Emmeline says, hey, Rand, what have been your favorite unusual or quirky venues to play? I saw you at the Yellow Book in Brighton.
Brighton.
And the steampunk aesthetic combined with being about a foot away from you for nearly the whole show definitely made for a memorable show. I'd like to know if there are any other which stand out to you. Also, do you prefer the unusual venues or the more traditional setups?
Wow. I remember the Yellow Book because, yeah, they didn't have a stage. So my laptop's like here. The people are literally right there. And I'm just like rapping to them. And the freestyle was so cool because gosh, I don't know how I remember this. When lady had her resume in her hand, and I was like, okay, I'm going to freestyle your resume. And I did it. That was so fun. But anyway, so strange occurrences give me memories like that. So I really do like the smaller, more quirky venues. There was the Super Happy Fun Land in Houston where I stepped in cat crap on stage. And I'm like, how did this even get here?
Yeah.
That place was like a hippie commune, and like people lived there and animals apparently. And I stepped in cat poop during the show. Like, and I was like, how did this get on stage? So yeah, those give me a story. Not always a good story though. But there's nothing like going into a venue and seeing it clean, spotless, having a green room, having a shower, having food, having like a top-notch sound person. As much as I appreciate the quirky holes in the wall, you know, I also like being treated well. So yeah, I really do appreciate the well put together and established venues. But the intimate shows are the ones where I get those direct memories, like the resume and things like that. So I appreciate them both.
Very cool.
Good question.
Toby says, hey, Megaran, how surreal was it to appear on SmackDown in the same ring with New Day and the Usos?
Oh, that was the craziest day of my life, dude. Like, I remember literally maybe the day before, Xavier calls me like, hey, we're in Phoenix. Are you in Phoenix? I'm like, yeah, I am. And he's like, okay, so we got this crazy idea. We're going to do a rap battle, but we're going to film it offsite in a basement to make it like feel like a real rap battle. And he pitched it and they said yes, but they liked the idea so much that they didn't want to pre-tape it. They wanted to do it live in the ring. I was like, what? You want me to come in the ring? And so he's like, yeah, you know, we got to get to the venue at 12 and we're sitting around. And I eat in catering next to like everybody, you know, and then Road Dogg comes up, hands the scripts out to everybody. And I was like, this is amazing, you know. And best part of that was we're in the room practicing the raps, you know. By the way, I didn't write those raps at all. I didn't. I just supervised. And so they wanted to help with delivery. So they're rapping their raps. And then there's a knock on the door and it's John Cena. You know,
came in with the music.
Came in, crazy. Music just followed him, and he's like, "Hello, guys." And it was 4th of July. He was making a big return. He's like, "No, I haven't been here in a while, but I just want to tell you, I'm very proud of you guys. You've been doing great." And
you're nailing the Cena impression yeah, too.
You know, he's like, "I know you're gonna kill it out there. Thank you very much." And I was like, "John, I thought you were coming in here to tell me you were gonna rap in this battle." And he's like, "No, no, no. That's a young man's game. I'm out of that. I'm out of the rap
business." He knows. He gets it.
And and I'm like, yo, John Cena's like my age. So like now I feel like, what are you trying to say, bro? Like, but anyway, he's like, no, I'm done with that. And so I actually had to have a moment with him, and that was really cool. And during the show, like he would see me and kind of just pat me on the shoulder as I was walking by, like, yo, man, good, you know, so keep up the good work. Cool. So that was really cool. And that was the best moment of that. But just coming out down the ramp, just like that electricity, I don't see how anybody could get used to that. Like, that's just a feeling, man, where every person is watching you and yelling as you're walking down the ramp. And that was in Phoenix, in my hometown, so some people knew me. So they're like, Megaran, you know, and so I was like really cool. And I'm trying my best not to like react to each individual person like, hey, hi, you know. But you got to like play the entire room, you know, and they were just like, have fun, be silly, like, and that was it. So we got to be silly during the rap battle, and man, dream come true, dude. It was absolutely surreal. And I remember just from that, man, I've made so many relationships, man. AJ Styles and I, we talk about retro games now, like all the time, and just crazy occurrences like that. I remember talking to Rusev and Luke Harper about the new Tekken, you know, and just things like that. Like, it was just a really cool experiences being able to just have chats with those guys. Cesaro, super cool guy, you know. So yeah, man, that was unreal. That yeah.
What was it like actually being in the ring? Because I feel like that's like a ring sacred spot. Like even when you get to go behind the scenes or whatever, you don't get to go in the ring.
Yeah. Like, that's the one thing I have over, like, okay, you got backstage, but were you in the ring with the cameras on you? You know? And so you get in the ring and you talk to the cameraman, you know, during our dress rehearsal, and he's like, you know, just play to me. Like, if you can't see me, I can't see you. So please remember that, you know? And Xavier was super cool. He was just like, stand right behind my shoulder, you know, so therefore you're always on TV. And I was like, oh snap, thanks. I get to be on TV.
So much.
He was so nice. He's like, stand next to me. He's like, I'm gonna shout you out. And I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. So there's a part in it where when he's about to rap, he says, Megaran, hold my trombone. And he hands me the trombone. And I was like, he said my name in the ring. You know, like, I'm canon. I'm totally.
Oh, my God.
I'm a part of the universe. So, yeah, that was just unreal, man. But being in the ring was crazy because the ring is very bouncy, especially when a lot of people are in there. I mean, it's all wood underneath it, but there's like 12 guys in there. So once somebody jumps, you feel it on your side. It's like, bah, 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 bah. So you got to like keep your balance. I think Wale's shoe came off during the.
You were in the room with Wale.
Like, he was judging the battle and his shoe came off during the like melee. And Road Dogg told us, he's like, look here, like, we didn't have you guys sign waivers. This is not a physical segment. All you're doing is pulling people back. And he's like, do not get physical. He's like, because what? They're going to get physical back with you. And we're not responsible at that point. You know, and I'm like, don't worry. Like, I want to hit a wrestler. Yeah, you know?
Do not worry. I'm not touching that giant hulk of a man.
Not touching these guys, you know. And he's like, just hold people back and just kind of, you know, maintain your balance. And, you know, and that's it. And then the segment will end with a little dust up. And, yeah, man, being in the ring is just crazy because, again, there's people on every side of you. You know, I'm used to being on stage where, okay, this is my audience, my focus. But there's cameras everywhere and there's people everywhere. So you're like, who do you play to? You know, like, so I had a like, this is a really mind blowing experience, but it was so fun.
That's great.
So fun. Thank you.
Great. The final question comes from Jeremiah. He says, I don't want to put you on the spot, but when it comes to freestyles, how free are those styles? Like, do you literally, like, is it just like you do it right now? You rap about something, or if you had to rap about Kevin right now?
I was in New Orleans, bro, and he was doing that. Like, hey, you show something, I'll rap about it. The whole crowd, and I pulled out some Newports, and he had a whole rhyme about he doesn't want me to die and to stop smoking.
Yeah, so you'll smoke those. Are bad for you.
So it's 100% definitely real.
It's all off the top. See, Greg could attest. It's all off the top. Granted, there's some things I've probably seen before, so I might be prepared because I've said this thing another time. Cell phone comes up every single show. Usually a cool wallet will come up, you know, something like that. But yeah, they're absolutely unrehearsed. I don't sit at home and think about it and write it down or plan it out. And I think that's the best way to do it because it's like I liken it to like the tightrope act, you know, or the person juggling some knives. And, you know, it's like, whoa, there's some danger. Trick. Because this could go wrong and he could really mess up and I could catch him messing up, you know? So the danger of it, I think, is what makes it go so well and to me, I kind of thrive under that pressure. So I think that it makes it better, you know, because I don't have a crutch to fall back on, you know? But yeah, it's absolutely off the top of my head, unrehearsed. If I say it, in a verse, then it's unrehearsed. Oh, that rhymed.
There we go. Oh, you're doing it now.
It's already happening.
Wow, you're so good. Yo. You really are the greatest of all time.
Yo, it's the Geddes Brothers and Megaran. There's no other.
There we go, man. There you go. Yep. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been We Have Cool Friends. Megaran, thank you so very much for joining us once again. First time on this show.
Yeah.
You get to see yourself on the wall. I'm very happy that now it's real.
I'm on the wall with the rock. Wall, man.
Got you. Yeah.
This is crazy.
So where can people find you?
Well, you can get me at megaran.com. That's where most of my tour dates, music, all the important information is. Up-to-the-minute updates are on Twitter at Megaran and at Instagram, which is at Mega_Ran, because I couldn't get Megaran. It looks like Meg Ryan when you look at it real close because it's shoved together.
Seen that
but it's not. So don't be like, I thought he said Meg Ryan. Yes, I've heard that before. Also, I do 2 songs a month on Patreon, all original just for you guys, which is at patreon.com/megaran. You can catch me on tour You can get merch at megaranmerch.com, music at megaranmusic.com, and or just go outside and yell Megaran and I'll appear and do a rap for you.
There you go, man. Let's get more custom than that. Thank you very much for this. Cool, Greg. You excited to see him tonight?
Hell yeah, man. Let's get it.
Yes. I love it, man. It's going to be great.
I love it.
Bring something fun for the freestyle.
Oh, woo! I will.
Yeah. Until next time, I love you.